Guys, it's getting warmer outside, getting warmer. We're starting to bust out the short sleeve shirts. We are ready to rock and roll. It is about to be spring. And what happens in spring? Spring football. We are continuing with our spring outlooks today as we step forward and get ready for spring football with four teams that I mentioned last week that we're going to talk about. I mentioned them probably a couple months ago that we're going to get into for our spring outlooks, and the day has finally come. So a couple of teams that we were going to talk about, a couple of teams that I added on last week. Guys, Pigskin Frenzy, welcome to Pigskin Frenzy on this wonderful Tuesday afternoon. Thank you for joining us. I'm Joel Norris. And whether you're watching on YouTube, listening on Spotify, listening on Podbean, and listening on Apple, a big thank you for taking some time out of your Tuesday to just sit back, watch, and listen to some college football coverage presented by me. Now, if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, like each episode, leave comments down below. Spotify, Podbean, and Apple, all you have to do is just share around with others and follow on there as well. X, Instagram, Facebook, all you have to do is type in Pigskin Frenzy, follow, like the pages there. You'll get episode updates. You're going to get news and highlights from across college and NFL football. You are going to get trivia questions on Instagram stories. Go and answer today's college football one, as well as all things of the day for Pigskin Frenzy. On the website, you can choose which platform that you can watch on, just like some of the ones I just mentioned. You can also go to click homepage, see what's, about me, and, there's a bio about me. Go and learn more about me, the host of Pigskin Frenzy and creator of Pigskin Frenzy. Go and learn more about me. There is a store coming soon. We will get more on that soon. Also, affiliations page to what I'm about to mention, www.pigskinfrenzy.weebly.com, and you can contact me there also, and I can answer it privately or on the show if it's a question on the show. Affiliations, partnerships. Guys, if you want, and I'm just going to sit here and tell you, I'm going to keep driving it home. If you want to make yourself look good, men and significant others to your man, if you want your man and or if you want yourself to look good, facial hair wise, grooming wise, contact the Beard Club. Go to the Beard Club, beardclub.com. Go to their website. You can order now. Spring 25, use that code, 15% off. Guys, go to the Beard Club and meet your grooming needs met. You have Beard Club kit. You have beard growthing kits. You have beard vitamins. You have shampoo for your hair, 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner for your hair. You have beard balm, beard oil, face and beard wash, that all that I use when I am, going to the bathroom and, grooming the beard and getting ready for the day. If you want to look good, if you want to look good, the Beard Club is where it's at. Go to my website now, affiliations, click on the affiliations button and affiliations page, click on the Beard Club logo on the affiliations page of my website at www.pigskinfrenzy.weebly.com. There, it will take you to the Beard Club website to purchase your Beard Club and your beard grooming needs. You can also click on my link tree on social medias, Instagram, Facebook, and X. You can go on there, click my link tree, and then it will take you, if you click on the Beard Club link, you will go to the Beard Club. Guys, Beard Club, it is good for your beard club, and it's good for your beard grooming needs, your facial hair needs. Your needs will be met facial hair-wise and grooming-wise. Your needs will be met with the Beard Club on my website, on Linktree. Thank you, proud partner of Pigskin Frenzy is the Beard Club. Guys, college football day today. Let's get rocking and rolling. Let's start with our outlooks. And last week, we talked about Missouri and the spring results from their game. They had two phenomenal running backs. Clean some stuff up in the secondary. They'll be fine, but Missouri is going to be a team to watch out for. We talked about NC State and how they could be a very underrated lock to do, to do big things in the ACC. We talked about Alabama and what Kalen DeBoer could do. We talked about Auburn and what's going to happen with Auburn. We talked about Clemson and what's going to happen with Clemson. Phil Moffa, the new starting running back there, he rotated in and out with Will Shipley last season. Shipley is gone. Now Phil Moffa will take the reins at Clemson. We talked about a lot of that stuff last week. If you want to go back and watch it, go back and watch last week's Spring Outlooks, our first set of Spring Outlooks. It was episode 109. Episode 109 of Pigskin Frenzy. We're on episode 111 now here. So today we're gonna have four teams, two from the SEC, two from the ACC. Four teams, spring outlook. We're gonna kick it off with the SEC before we move on to the ACC. Let's talk about South Carolina first. South Carolina in Columbia, Shane Beamer. Last season, they were in, and by the way, the start up to this kind of rewinds back to the end of 2022. So the back end of 2022, we thought South Carolina was a team that was a good team, but they weren't going to sit around and beat a Tennessee and a Clemson. And what we had there was like, I mean, wow. Right. I mean, it was shocking because it was, you know, they had to win two games to go to a bowl game. Two games to be bowl eligible. Shane Beamer coached his team hard. In Tennessee was one of those games where in Columbia against Tennessee, 2022 with the number one offense going into Gamecock territory, Shane Beamer defended their home field. They defended their house. They not only beat Tennessee, they destroyed Tennessee. Hendon Hooker's season came to an unfortunate end after injuring his knee, tearing his ACL. Joe Milton stepped up, and we're going to talk a little bit about Joe Milton on Thursday. So just a little bit of a sneak preview right there. But Joe Milton came in, started playing some ball at the tail end of the game. South Carolina ended up blowing them out and kind of ending Tennessee's college football playoff hopes. The next week, they played Clemson, their rival. Clemson, it was a fight to be bowl eligible for the Gamecocks. Clemson was already bowl eligible. It was a fight for them to be bowl eligible, though. And it worked. South Carolina ended up going into Death Valley and beating them. In Clemson Memorial Stadium, ended up beating Clemson to go be bowl eligible. Big upset there. Back-to-back weeks. South Carolina was hot and on a roll. They ended up losing the bowl game against Notre Dame, but they looked, you know, incredible in the back half. We thought because of the back half and a lot of the guys coming back, Juice Wells, Spencer Rattler, Juju McDowell, a lot of those guys on offense were coming back for the Gamecocks. What happened? It did not go to plan. Their season, we predicted, honestly, I thought South Carolina was going to end up third. If I predicted it right in the offseason last year, third in the SEC East. In the last year of divisions in the SEC, the SEC East, South Carolina did not finish so hot. They finished lower than what I had them at. South Carolina ended up losing the opening game against North Carolina by a couple of scores. They ended up losing some games that they weren't really supposed to lose. Spencer Rattler looked okay, but they didn't look like they did in the tail half of the 2022 season. We thought they were going to bring that for the whole season in 2023, but they ended up not. It ended up going, you know, kind of wishy-washy, kind of hot, kind of cold, and South Carolina ended up, you know, not making it a bowl game this past season. So a lot of these guys are gone, and as we head into spring football for the South Carolina Gamecocks, Shane Beamer, good coach, intense coach. He's fired up. He's ready to lead the Gamecocks into a surprise season and let people get, you know, talk about South Carolina again, right? And here are a couple of, this is what I'm thinking about the spring outlook and how I outlook it. And it's really 3 points that I usually use for spring outlooks anyway, but 3 points. One, how's Robbie Ashford going to do at quarterback? South Carolina landed transfer quarterback Robbie Ashford. He transferred from Auburn. Robbie Ashford was a dynamic threat in the running game and a little bit in the throwing game for Auburn the past couple of seasons. How is Robbie Ashford going to translate and replace Spencer Rattler? That's our first part of our spring outlook for South Carolina. How are they going to look? How is he going to look going into the season? What's going to happen there? And I'm curious to see how Robbie Ashford translates, and he could very well be the starting quarterback going into 2024. We don't know officially yet, but most likely could be the starting quarterback for the Gamecocks in 2024. That's a big key there and a big outlook that I have for South Carolina. How is he going to translate into that offense? How's he going to fit and mold as the Gamecocks quarterback? That's one. Number two, who replaces Xavier Leggett? Who replaces Juice Wells? Xavier Leggett is going to the NFL. Juice Wells has transferred to Ole Miss. Who is going to step up for the South Carolina Gamecocks? I'm pulling up my notes now just to talk about this one subject, because Xavier Leggett and Juice Wells combined were, you know, honestly, if you want to just talk about them, were a dynamic duo in Columbia. They were, I mean, in William Bryce Stadium, they were blowing the roof off the place, right? How is it going to work? How is everything going to, you know, how's it going to translate, right? Yes, they got guys coming back like Juju McDowell. He never left. You got a lot of guys who can, you know, who can catch the ball as well. Juju McDowell is a good running back, but he also is what he is, a running back. He can catch the ball well, but he's not like a big-time receiver. Who's going to replace some of these top receivers like Xavier Leggett and like a Juice Wells? I got one name that comes to mind, and his name is Amari Huggins-Bruce, the senior wide receiver, the now senior wide receiver, number one from South Carolina. Huggins-Bruce could be a dynamic replacement for an Xavier Leggett. He brings a slight speed that Xavier Leggett brought to the offense, and he could bring that as well to this year's South Carolina football team. So Amari Huggins-Bruce, dynamic speed in as a receiver, and he could bring that, you know, to teams and opponents this season. One guy that a lot of people, you know, talking about, he's a freshman. He's a freshman wide receiver, and he just showed up on campus. Mazio Bennett, number three wide receiver, freshman, coming into South Carolina. He can make an immediate impact for the Gamecocks as well. You have Huggins-Bruce as the senior receiver, and then you got a young kid named Mazio Bennett who could honestly help elevate in the route running game. He was a solid player in high school. He looked great. His route running abilities are phenomenal, and for what I saw in high school, he looked like a guy that could be a true threat, you know, in the offense for the Gamecocks. So, who really can step up and replace those two top wide receivers? You can look at Huggins-Bruce, Amari Huggins-Bruce, and you can look at Mazio Bennett. And honestly, number three, what's going to happen, you know, with the running backs? All this is offense for me. Their defense is fine. I think their defensive line's good. I think their secondary is improving. I think that's good. I think the running backs, and honestly, who gets the most snaps at running back? Because you got two star-studded running backs if you're South Carolina. South Carolina's, they got some pieces. Shane Beamer's got some pieces to this offense. You got Robbie Ashford. You got Amari Huggins-Bruce. You got Juju McDowell. And then you brought another transfer running back in from Arkansas. Raheem Rocket Sanders is now a part of the Gamecocks. So who's going to take the most snaps at running back? So that's my third point for South Carolina's, you know, spring outlook. Who's going to take the most snaps at running back, and who's going to share, who's going to get the most brunt of the load at running back? You can obviously think that Raheem Sanders could get that, right? Juju McDowell is a solid back, and he's been a solid back, but if you want to help share some snaps and put off, you know, get more of the load, graduating senior Raheem Sanders coming in for, you know, his last season of football playing for South Carolina could do the trick. What he did at Arkansas was quite incredible. He ran the ball with a bunch of speed and power, a very solid, balanced back. When he is tough, but he can also turn on the wheels when needed. Raheem Sanders can bring that to the Gamecock offense this season. So, who's going to get the most snaps, and who's going to share the brunt of the load? The brunt of the load at running back. That's one. Number two, even though this was, you know, that was number three. Let's go backwards here. And number two, who's going to replace the top two wide receivers that, you know, that's in Columbia? Right. It could be Amari Huggins-Bruce. It could be Mazio Bennett. That's two. Number three, how is Robbie Ashford going to translate into this offense, and what is his role? Is he going to be the starting quarterback? Who knows? But how is he going to translate well into Shane Beamer's system after being in Auburn for the past 2 to 3 years? So how can he translate into South Carolina's system? So that's the most really I got for the spring outlook of South Carolina. They got a lot of good pieces. I'm excited to see what they do. You know, come spring football, their spring game is, if I can pull it up, their spring game is, as I am looking on my notes here, And sorry for the long pause, ladies and gentlemen. This is what I do. I have it on there, then I lose it, right? Then I lose it on my notes. So they're playing the game at night, 7 p.m., Saturday, April 20th, 7 p.m. Go out, support your Gamecocks if needed, if you're listening to the show. Big Gamecock weekend is what they're calling it. Spring game, Saturday, April 20th at 7 p.m. It will be played at night, the Garnet and Black spring game, under the lights at William Bryce Stadium, Saturday, April 20th. So don't forget that. They got a lot of pieces. I'm curious to see what South Carolina does and how they are going to, you know, how's this going to translate into the fall camp coming up during this season. So South Carolina looking good on a lot of areas. Let's talk about the SEC still before we move on to the two teams in the ACC. Let's talk about LSU and let's talk about, you know, how are they going to look in the spring and going into fall camp? Let me want to tell you something, guys. LSU had a dynamic offense. Had a dynamic offense, guys. And let me go on and tell you something. When I say dynamic offense, I mean dynamic offense. Remember when I said that in 2022, Tennessee was number one in offensive efficiency and number one offense in 2022. Yeah, that was LSU in 2023. Jaden Daniels, led by Heisman Trophy winner Jaden Daniels, was a dynamic threat to any defense he played. Anybody that stepped onto the field, he was their worst nightmare. Then you had two receivers like Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas. You had Logan Diggs at running back. You had a lot of good key pieces on that offense that was just solid. Mason Taylor, Kyron Lacy. You had a lot of guys. Aaron Anderson's there. Had a lot of guys there who would help out a lot in Jaden Daniels' system and Jaden Daniels and in Mike Denbrock's system. Well, with high reward, with you know, it all pays off in the end, right? There comes a cost, and that was their defense. Their defense was the one that cost them a lot of games. And if it wasn't, and I'm just going to sit there and say it, if it wasn't for their defense, LSU would have been in the playoffs. They probably could have won the national championship. I'm not joking. They could have won the national championship in 2023. Why? Because of how solid and how fast and how dynamic their offense was. They had the best offense in college football. Again, hadn't seen anything like that since 2019 with LSU. So, Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas, all headed off to the draft. What does this mean? Logan Diggs, he transferred to Ole Miss. You got two guys in the backfield named Caleb Jackson. You got two guys in the backfield, another guy in the backfield named Trey Holly. If a lot of the issues have been cleared up with Trey Holly, go and read about that if you may. And then the successor in, you know, incoming Garrett Nussmeier, who has been hyped up for a very long time. He was, you know, hyped up, you know, during 2021 to replace Max Johnson, Jaden, and even Miles Brennan. Miles Brennan ended up retiring and quit playing football. Max Johnson ended up transferring. Jaden Daniels transferred in. It was a job between Nussmeier and Daniels. Daniels won the job. Nussmeier was developing more and waited until, you know, 2024. Now, the keys have been handed to Garrett Nussmeier. He is expected to 100% be the starting quarterback going into the season opener on Sunday, September 1st against USC in Las Vegas, Nevada, Allegiant Stadium, Labor Day weekend for the 2024 season. Garrett Nussmeier started the bowl game as well, had a good showing against Wisconsin. They beat Wisconsin 35-31 in the ReliaQuest Bowl. When you look at the offense then and compared to now, that's what everyone's going to be focused on. Big outlook. Number one, can Garrett Nussmeier keep up the pace? Not really the pace, but let me figure out a way to word this better. Can he keep up and not really do what Jaden Daniels did, but keep the offense at the same level of what he did, of what Jaden Daniels did at LSU? Can he keep up? Can the offense keep up and keep everything going and be consistently good like that Jaden Daniels offense was and like that Joe Burrow offense was years prior. Can Garrett Nussmeier keep up and help lead that offense to be just as good as the other offenses? That's the big outlook there. That's number one. How is that going to look? How is the offense going to look now that Garrett Nussmeier is under center for LSU? That's one. Number two, the receivers. Who are Kyron Lacy is back as a six-year senior. He's fifth-year senior. He's graduated already. He's a graduate, but he will start, and he came back to LSU to play. He will play. You also got Aaron Anderson as a redshirt sophomore. How are the new dynamic receivers going to look? Who's going to step up for Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas now that they're gone? Another game that comes to mind is Liberty transfer wide receiver C.J. Daniels. He was an absolute animal at Liberty. 1,000-yard receiver at Liberty. He was a solid player. In the group of five. So let's see what's going to happen with C.J. Daniels, and let's see what's going to happen with Kyron Lacy or Aaron Anderson. Who is going to be your options at receiver? Who's going to, can those, better yet for the outlook for this one, for number two, it's not do they have the receivers. They have the receivers. Can they do just as good, right? Can they do just as good as Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas can? That's a big question. That's number two. Number three, the secondary. The secondary. Yes, sir. And that was a big part of why the defense was absolutely failing last season, not just the overall defense. And you're going to think, you're not talking about Harold Perkins. Why are you not talking about Harold Perkins? I'll tell you why I'm not talking about Harold Perkins. Because Harold Perkins was in a position last season to where he shouldn't have been in that type of position. He was in the outside linebacker spot, and it wasn't his go-to position is inside linebacker, hybrid edge rusher, move around the field, make him look, he's dangerous, make him be that weapon and move all around on the inside and be a hybrid linebacker / edge rusher if needed be. That is what Harold Perkins is good at. Harold Perkins going into last season was the best defensive player in college football, hands down. His stock fell off a little bit, but in his junior year, he has a lot of time now to show up and say, "Hey, I'm still the best player in college football and in the SEC." Going into the 2025 NFL draft, if need be, Harold Perkins is a dynamic threat. My thing doesn't rely on Harold Perkins because I trust that Harold Perkins probably could show out for LSU if Coach Blake Baker has a good game plan on defense heading in there. And so this is kind of a two-parter for the third part for LSU. It's Blake Baker, the former Missouri defensive coordinator, now new LSU defensive coordinator, a name that they're familiar with. He was their linebackers coach in 2016. Can Blake Baker be, what is his game plan going to look like on defense, and how is this going to affect the secondary? The secondary is a big problem. A lot of rotation in and out, a lot of hurt for the secondary. You had a lot of guys, right? A lot of guys who just got affected. Secondary wise, you have Major Burns. Major Burns is coming back. Denver Harris, a freshman corner, rotated in and out, then completely just left. We didn't hear from him. He was unavailable. Deuce Chestnut, a guy who came in from Syracuse, solid player at first, but then he became unavailable. They have both now transferred out. You got guys like J.K. Johnson. You got guys like Major Burns, LaTerrence Welch is not even all. He transferred. So I'm looking at these notes. Who can step up in the secondary? That's my thing. Is it going to be Major Burns? Is it going to be Ashton Stamps? Ashton Stamps, freshman corner. He was a solid threat going in for LSU in the secondary. They brought back Corey Raymond, defensive backs coach for LSU. He was quite honestly the inventor of DBU, defensive back university for LSU. He coached a lot of top name defensive backs, including Patrick Peterson, including Tyrann Mathieu, including Grant Delpit, Greedy Williams, a lot of these guys, Derek Stanley, a lot of these guys. Can they step up and become DBU again? And what's the game plan going to look like for the secondaries? Who's going to step up a secondary? Because that is a need for LSU's defense. They were drowning last year because of that. So who is going to step up on defense? Who's going to step up for the secondary? What's Blake Baker's game plan going to look like? How is the offense going to translate, with Garrett Nussmeier? Can they keep up with that consistency? And are the receivers going to step up and try to replace Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas? That's what I'm looking for LSU spring outlook. A lot's gone, but a lot's still there. There's a lot of talent in Baton Rouge. So what's going to happen? And a lot of this in the SEC, what you don't think about this, and when you just kind of comprehend everything, how Nick Saban really truly ran everything. Because now it's like, okay, now that Nick Saban's gone, who's going to step up and who can play and who can do this? Kalen DeBoer is going to be a good coach at Alabama. Alabama's one of the top teams in the SEC still. But now that Nick Saban has kind of gone, he's retired, his death grip on the throat of the SEC is no longer on the throat of the SEC. The throat of the SEC is healing now. So now it's like, okay, who's going to take up that mantle? Who's going to go and take up that brass ring, if you will? We already know that Georgia is probably going to be one of them. But for to challenge Georgia, could it be LSU? Could it be Texas or Oklahoma? Who knows? But I know that LSU's got a lot of talent in Baton Rouge. And I think it's a little bit easier now that Kalen DeBoer is the head coach at Alabama and not Nick Saban. I'm not saying Kalen DeBoer is not a good coach. You're going to have to come to play against Kalen DeBoer's teams. I'm not saying that. But Nick Saban's the greatest of all time. And it is kind of hard, to sit and say, okay, it's not gotten a little bit easier now that Nick Saban's gone. So that's my take on it. That LSU, that's my spring outlook on them. Let's see what they do in their spring game, their National L Club Day, by the way. Their National L Club Day, National L Club spring game in Tiger Stadium, 1 p.m. Central Time on 2 Eastern, 1 Central Time, Saturday, April 13th. Not this Saturday, but next Saturday on ESPN+. So, we'll have some results for LSU spring game and what we like from LSU. So that's their spring game. Go and watch it on ESPN+. If you have an ESPN+ account, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to see the LSU Tigers and see how they do in the spring game. Spring practices have been going well, I heard. So let's see what happens for the National L Club spring game, third season under Brian Kelly. So good for LSU. That was South Carolina as well. Two teams from the SEC. Let's talk about the ACC really quick. I said I was curious about UCF and Georgia Tech, a couple of months ago when I was recapping their bowl game. Let's talk about some UCF, and then we'll go to Georgia Tech. Because I'm interested. So, I'm sorry, two ACC teams. Let me start over. One Big 12 team and one ACC team. My fault. I kept making that mistake. One Big 12 team, one ACC team. UCF's in the Big 12. It just makes sense, right? If we can just switch some of these guys out because of regions. I think UCF could be in the ACC if they wanted to. They're Central Florida. So let's talk about UCF, and let's talk about some of the guys that they got now. Going into the 2024 season, who we got at quarterback? That's a big one. John Rhys Plumlee, not there. He's not there. What UCF did was he played a little bit, but they rotated him in and out, last year. So, who could it be? Who could it be? Could it be Brandon Wimbush is one of them. Timmy McClain was also one of them. Xavier Williams is also one of them. Both redshirt sophomores, along with Riley Shajulo, who just came in for UCF. So you got three quarterbacks there. Who's going to be the next starting quarterback? That's the basic question you can ask for UCF. Timmy McClain has had some playing time, though. If you want to be real, when John Rice Plumlee was out, McClain was in. He made that, incredible scramble play against Baylor. So, that makes you go, oh my goodness, can you believe it? Go and watch that, by the way, because that was a great play, okay? Great play. So that's one. Who's going to be the starting quarterback for the UCF Knights? McClain has the lead, I would say. He's got more playing time. But Xavier Williams could be a dynamic threat. So can Riley Chajulo, who just came in for UCF. So who's going to be the starting quarterback? What about the defensive, the secondary? The secondary, and what's going to happen there? Who's going to step up in the secondary? That is a big question for me, and how I outlook, UCF is a secondary. They had a good secondary, but who can elevate that secondary? What's a player that can elevate that secondary for the Knights? Excuse me. When I look at one, Damari Henderson. Damari Henderson could be one guy that could elevate that secondary for the Knights against a lot of Big 12 teams going into 2024. I think if you look at the trajectory of the 2023 secondary for the UCF Knights, and when you look at them, now they did okay, but they were missing that spark. Who's going to be the spark of that secondary going into 2024? Damari Henderson could be one. He could be that guy. I really am high on him. I would like to see what UCF does there with in the secondary. So, number one, the quarterbacks. Who's going to be the starting quarterback for the UCF Knights? I think Timmy McClain has got the lead on that. Who replaces John Rice Plumlee? Number two, Damari Henderson could be the spark that could save the secondary. Who's going to be the spark? And that's why I mentioned Damari Henderson. Who's going to be that spark of the secondary going into the spring and even fall camps? Number three, physicality on the defensive front. I want to see more of it. I want to see more physicality of the defensive front. Who's going to bring that physicality to the defensive front going into spring? You got some good players. Last year, Isaiah Nixon, freshman defensive end. He's a sophomore now. Isaiah Nixon could be that guy that can bring some physicality up in the end, up as a defensive end, and physicality up for the defensive front for the Knights. So that's one guy I look at. Another guy that you could really, really look at is Ricky Barber. He's a redshirt senior coming back. Ricky Barber, he could be another guy, on the defensive front who could bring some of that physicality and fire to the defensive front. Another guy that you could look at, obviously, redshirt sophomore, Lee Hunter, defensive tackle for the Knights. You can look at him, and he could obviously bring that fire for the defensive front and bring that physicality to the defensive front. So that's my top three, points in the spring outlook for UCF. A quick spring outlook for UCF, but that's really the points that I had to hit home. I think UCF can be a very improved team going into the Big 12 and the 2024 college football season. They just have to show a little bit more, I guess. They have to show a little bit. They have to just show in those areas that they can be that, right? They have to show in those areas that, to improve in those areas, right? And they got to show out in those areas for me to believe, okay, that could be a huge step of improvement in the Big 12. So, number one, who replaces John Rice Plumlee at quarterback between Timmy McClain, Xavier Williams, Riley Shajulo? Number two, who steps up and brings that spark to the secondary? Could it be Damari Henderson or even Jakari Henderson? So it could be one of the, it could be the two twin brother, the two brothers, Damari Henderson, Jakari Henderson. Who could it be? Number three, who brings that physicality to the defensive front? Could it be Lee Hunter? Could it be Isaiah Nixon? Who can bring that physical threat to the defensive front for UCF? That's my spring outlook for UCF. I'm going to, you know, as I pull up my notes here, their spring game, guys, is in, you know, Friday, April 12th, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, Orlando, Florida, at FBC Mortgage Stadium, the home of the UCF Knights. Spring game, Friday, April 12th, 7 p.m. Eastern. Go and check your listings for to watch the UCF spring game, the Knights spring game, next Friday. Not this Friday, but next Friday, April 12th, 7 p.m. Eastern, UCF spring football game. So that's UCF. Let's go with our last one before we conclude today's episode of Pigskin Frenzy, and that's the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. Brent Fry had a good season last year. You're going to sit there and probably, okay, you're dropping your phone. I'm listening to this guy throwing your hands back saying, let's talk. Say what we're not seeing. Do you realize that Georgia Tech made it to a bowl game last season? Did you realize that Brent Key made it to a bowl game last season? He was their first year led them to a bowl game. They haven't been to a bowl game in quite some time out in Bobby Dodd Stadium, okay? So, guys, what you guys can do is go back and watch it and go back and just, you know, let's just go and just think about everything. Let's go and look and think about everything. Did they lose to Louisville? They sure did, but they had a huge lead in front of it. They beat South Carolina State. They lost to Ole Miss. They beat Wake Forest. That's 2-2 right there. They lost Bowling Green close. They beat Miami. That's 3-3. They lost to Boston College. They beat North Carolina. They beat they beat Virginia. They lost to Clemson. They beat Syracuse. They lost to Georgia. And then they won their bowl game. Guys, 7-6, 5-3 conference record. 5-3, Brent Key's first season. They haven't been like that in quite some time. Georgia Tech has shown up, ladies and gentlemen. The rambling wreck of Georgia Tech, they could be a dark horse contender in the ACC. And a lot of teams and a lot of guys just don't know it yet. Georgia Tech did not have a bad year. I think 7-6 for Georgia Tech, quite honestly, is a good season from where they were. That's improvement, okay? That is improvement. It's not going to happen. So for some teams, it's not going to happen like that. But guess what? 7-6 is a jump to where they were. Let's talk about their roster. Haynes King is their man. There's no doubt Haynes King is their man. But you also know who else is their guy? Eric Singleton Jr., the new sophomore receiver from Georgia Tech. Last season, he was an animal. Eric Singleton, number 13, he switched his jersey number to number 2. He was a savage last season, all right? He played really good football for the Yellow Jackets. He was a dynamic threat along with Haynes King. That was the duo for the rambling wreck of Georgia Tech. Atlanta's going to be cooking with Haynes King and Georgia Tech this season. I mean, once you look at everything, Haynes King, redshirt junior, Eric Singleton, sophomore receiver. So who's their – so number one, and this is the number one outlook that I got for Georgia Tech, and what I want to see for Georgia Tech in the spring out and, you know, in spring football and spring training this season. Number one to kick off our outlook, who else steps up at wide receiver besides Eric Singleton? You got some guys, man. You still got some guys. You have Leo Blackburn, redshirt junior, Leo Blackburn coming in. He looks good. He's a solid receiver. Leo Blackburn, solid player. He wasn't able to play last season because he sustained a knee injury last spring. He's finally getting healthy, finally getting ready, easing his way into the training. Who helps out Eric Singleton? Leo Blackburn, a fully healthy redshirt junior, Leo Blackburn. Could be it. He's had some injury woes, but Leo Blackburn can finally shine for the rambling wreck of Georgia Tech coming up this season. I mean, if he stays healthy, he could help out Eric Singleton carry the load at the receiving core, at the receiving position. So that's number one for me. Who helps out Eric Singleton in the receiving area? Number two, linebackers. I think linebackers a little bit was okay, but not good enough last season for Georgia Tech. How can you expand on that and grow in your linebacker area? You got EJ Lightsley. EJ Lightsley, a redshirt sophomore, just coming in. He's a solid player. Last school that he played for was Georgia. He played for Georgia, transferred in to Georgia Tech in Atlanta. How is he going to look, and how can he make a dynamic impact in the linebacker area? And, what can happen, and how can he transition and help out up in the middle when teams are running up in the middle and teams are, throwing in the middle? How can he make an impact for your linebacker area? That's number two. Number three, what's the offensive line looking like? How are you going to be able to protect Haynes King and guys like Trey Cooley even more? How are you going to protect those guys when you look at some of those guys and offensive linemen? You got Corey Robinson Jr., you got Jordan Williams, you got guys who were good, but guys who could practice better and step up more. I think you got the guys, but how are they going to, find that spark on the offensive line? I think that's the main thing that I was trying to hit at, and that's my point that I was trying to hit at. How is Georgia Tech's offensive line going to find that spark in the ACC this season? Find that spark to protect Haynes King and to make even more throws to Singleton and Leo Blackburn and let Trey Cooley run the rock some more. So how are you going to find that spark on the line to protect some of your key players on this team? Because I think that's a big key here, because you got some good linemen, some key offensive linemen, but you got to protect the guys trying to score, right? Trying to protect Haynes King and trying to protect Trey Cooley and Leo Blackburn and Eric Singleton. So you got Jordan Williams, senior. You got a redshirt junior and Corey Robertson, the second. So two names that come to mind as an offensive lineman. How are you going to find that spark on the line with those two guys to step up and not only just step up and, play physical and block and protect Haynes King and the rest of the offense? So number one, Who helps out Eric Singleton Jr.? That's one. With Leo Blackburn could be an option. Number two, the linebacker area. Can EJ Lightsley be the light for that linebacker area? And number three, how can the offensive line, protect, and how can you get in, and how can you, find that spark on the offensive line to protect a lot of those key players on offense this season? So the spring game for Georgia Tech, Saturday, April 13th, 1 o'clock p.m. on ACC Network Extra. It is next Saturday, not this Saturday, but next Saturday, spring game, white and gold spring game in Bobby Dodd Stadium, Hyundai Field in Atlanta, Georgia. Oldest stadium in college football, by the way. That's true. That is a trivia question waiting to happen. Guys, hint, hint of the spoiler question. So, trivia question, I just mentioned it. Spoiler alert, we're going to have it. Who has the oldest stadium in college football? Guys, that just about does it for Pigskin Frenzy. That was our spring outlooks for South Carolina, for LSU, for UCF, and Georgia Tech. That just about does it. A big thank you for taking some time out of your Tuesday to just sit back, watch, and listen to some college football coverage presented by me. Now, if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, like each episode, leave comments down below. Spotify, Podbean, and Apple, all you have to do is just share around with others and follow on there as well. X, Instagram, Facebook, just type in Pigskin Frenzy, follow like the pages there. You'll get episode updates. You will get news and highlights from across college and NFL football. You will get trivia questions on Instagram stories. Spoiler, I just mentioned it. Go and answer today's college football question, as well as all things up to date for Pigskin Frenzy. Guys, www.pigskinfrenzy.weebly.com for all things Pigskin Frenzy. Guys, Beer Club, proud partner of Pigskin Frenzy. Thank you again for being our partners. Go and get your facial hair and grooming needs met with the Beer Club. On the website, at the affiliations page, just click the Beer Club logo, www.pigskinfrenzy.weebly.com. Also, on all social medias, go to my link tree, click on my link tree, and below on the YouTube video even, click the link tree below the description on my YouTube videos and episode videos, and go to get your beard club needs met and your facial hair needs met through that link tree by clicking the beard club link there. Guys, big thank you. Again, I just slammed my hand on the table for some reason. I don't know why, on the desk. Guys, Thursday, Pigskin Frenzy, NFL edition of Thursday of Pigskin Frenzy happening then. We're going to dive deep into our last round of pro days. Auburn, Tennessee, Washington. Pro day reactions, our last round of pro day reactions as we head towards the 2024 NFL draft, and we can continue our coverage of the 2024 NFL draft then. Until Thursday, I'm Joel Norris signing off. We will see you then. Guys, for everybody out there, stay the course. Everyone had a great Easter. And like I said this past episode of Pigskin Frenzy, he is risen indeed. Stay the course.